Take your Bibles and turn with me to the Gospel of John and chapter 20. John chapter 20. John chapter 20, we'll read several verses. Begin with me, please, in John chapter 20, verse number 30. John 20, verse 30. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. Now in chapter 21, please, verse number 24. Chapter 21 and verse 24. This is the disciple which testifieth of these things, and wrote these things. And we know that his testimony is true. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. I want to preach a message this morning with the help of the Lord, very simply entitled, The Next 40 Days. The Next 40 Days. But first, let's pray. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, thank you for the privilege that is mine tonight, or this morning, to mount the sacred desk. I pray as I do that we not hear from Billy Krieger, but that the loving Lord Jesus would come and stand behind me, that I would be transparent, and we would see him in the message today. Lord, I thank you for those that are joining us by way of Facebook and other social media, those that are listening on our website. And I would ask if there be one under the sound of my voice today, whether in the house or online, that knows you not as Savior, that this would be the day of salvation for them. God, I need your help today in body and in voice and in spirit. I pray that you would do for us that which we cannot do for ourselves. That God, you would speak to our hearts in a way that only you can. I ask that we'd leave in just a little while different than when we came here, both the preacher and the people. And we'll thank you for what you'll do, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Thank you. You may be seated. The gospel of Jesus is what we've been focusing on for the past several months, maybe more than a year, I think we've been in this study. And this series of messages isn't complete just because we're through Jesus' passion story. It'll be 40 more days before he leaves the earth. And even then, he'll appear in visions to a few throughout the New Testament. So this morning, what I would like to do is take a chronological overview this morning and then in a couple of more messages to highlight some of the particular appearances of Jesus between the time that he rose from the grave and the time he ascended back to heaven. I'm just going to give you a quick overview this morning. And then we'll come back and look at the particular references and so forth. Here's the story. It's a little confusing, a little chaotic. People are running here and there, scurrying about, as you would imagine, trying to make sense of everything. Think about it for just a moment. The disciples had spent 3.5 years with Jesus. Every day, every night, there were times when he went apart to pray by himself. There were times when he took just 3 of his apostles, the inner circle, you might say. But the majority of the time, all of the disciples were there. They were with him, watching him perform miracles, listening to him preach and teach, watching his compassion on others. And now, finally, he was gone. Many times during those 3 years, Jesus had told the disciples that he was going to die. They heard, but perhaps they didn't believe. They didn't understand. All of these men had been on the earth long enough to see other fly by night outfits. They had seen people come and go saying they had the truth. And now Jesus had done that again. And although he had done things to authenticate his message, although they believed with everything that was in them that he was the Son of God, that he was the Messiah, he was the promised one. After all, they gave up their livelihoods. Some of them were very successful. They left all that. Many of them forsook home and family and wives and children to follow Jesus. They had lived a life where they didn't know where they were going to sleep the next night. They didn't know what they would eat. They didn't know if they met someone and mentioned the name of Jesus, they didn't know if they needed to duck or pucker. This is the life they had lived for 3 years, and they had done so willingly. They had done so devotionally. They'd forsaken all to follow him. And now, he was gone. Dead. Buried. Forsaken. Was he who he said he was after all? Had they given up their lives in vain? Had they made fools of themselves? Or had this one made a fool of them? Was he just a shyster? Was he a lunatic? Was he a liar? Or was he the Lord? Most of them did not know. None of them, except for one, the one who wrote these words, was at the cross. One had betrayed him. One had denied even knowing him 3 times, once with a curse, and that's just what's recorded. Many of the other disciples may have done the same thing. Jesus observed that they all had forsaken him. They were all gone. Peter said, "I'm going fishing." The other disciples said, "Yeah, we'll go with you." Maybe we can salvage what's left of our lives. It was over. He was gone. He was dead. Imagine. Those were his closest confidants. The people that were close to him. And then there were all those others who secretly followed him. And there were those who, during these days, were saying, "I knew it. We told you so. We told you he was just a fake, just a phony. We told you that others came before him and others would come after him. He was no different. He was not so special." So that's the culture at the time. That's the prevailing observation. Now they're trying to make sense of it all. Jesus first appeared to Mary Magdalene, and then to some other women at the tomb. They had planned to anoint his body, and on the way they wondered who would roll the stone away from the door, or even if they'd be allowed to see his body. So I think about that. That's an indication to me that they were not expecting him to be alive. They had heard him, no doubt, say that he would die, but that he would rise again. They perhaps believed it and told him they believed what he said. And now the time has come. They expected, when they got to the grave, that he would be there. I'm put in mind of the soldier who said to the Lord, "I believe, help thou mine unbelief." Think back over your Christian experience. How many times has God said something to you, or has God showed you something in his word, and you said, "Yes, I believe that. Yes, I believe that that's what God wants. I believe that's the will of God." But you live your life in unbelief. You wonder if what God has said is true. Is what he promised true? Yes, these ladies said, "We know that he said that he would rise again. We know that. Now, how are we going to get in to see the body? Who's going to roll the stone away? Are we even going to be allowed in there? Or is there some type of conspiracy to try to feign that he rose? If he's not there, where is he?" This is what was going through their mind. But they arrived at the tomb, and they found that it was already open. There was no body inside, just as he said. And Mary Magdalene ran to tell Peter and John that someone had taken his body. On the way there, they wondered how they would get in to see the body. When they got to the tomb, they saw that the body was gone. Did they rejoice and say, "Hallelujah! He has risen as he said! Praise God!" Is that what they said? No, they said, "He's not here. Where is he? Who took him? Who stole the body away?" Meanwhile, back at the tomb, the other women see two angels who explain to them that he rose just like he said he would. They told them to go tell the others. Now Mary Magdalene, as Peter and John running toward the tomb, as she tries to keep up, the other women are heading in another direction to look for any of the disciples and to give them the news. John makes a point of telling us that he outran Peter. But John stops at the entrance to the tomb. Looking in from there, he sees the linen clothes lying empty. Peter catches up and barges straight in, as was his style. John believed that Jesus had risen, just like he said. He was there at the cross. He believed that he had done what he said, but Peter was still scratching his head. What's happened? Where is he? Both of them leave for home, but Mary Magdalene stays there at the tomb, wondering, looking, searching. Jesus appears to Mary, but she doesn't know it's him. She thinks he's the gardener. He said, Sir, if you've taken his body, let me know where you've laid it, and I'll take it away. Jesus said one word. Mary. And when he said, Mary, she believes. She knows he's the Lord. Now Mary leaves to find the disciples and correct herself. No one had taken him. He's alive. While she heads that way, Jesus appears to the other women who were looking for the disciples. He says, all hail. They worship him. He tells them to give the disciples instructions to meet him in Galilee. We pointed out the fact last week that the disciples, the majority of the disciples, were not at the cross because they were themselves hiding for fear of being caught and imprisoned, or even worse. So now Mary arrives where the disciples are hiding out, gives them the great news, but they don't believe her. She said, no, you don't understand. I've seen him. He spoke to me. It was the Lord. And they don't believe her. Why? Because they're thinking with finite minds. Nobody has ever done that before. Nobody has ever died, been buried, and rose again. Yes, we know this was the Son of God. We know. We saw him perform miracles, but that is some trick. We've seen him raise others from the dead. That was spectacular. It was miraculous. But to raise himself from the dead? Now that's a horse of a different color. Maybe one of them said, somebody would have to be demon-possessed to be able to do something like that. These disciples who had spent time with him day in and day out. They had heard him say countless times that he would die and be buried, but he would rise again on the third day. They had heard that. They maybe even said, amen! What a day that'll be! And yet now the day has come, and they said, we don't believe it! The other women arrive to where the disciples and Mary are, and they tell their experience, and the disciples, they're a little more persuaded, but they still think it's too good to be true. At the same time, the guards who had fainted when the angel rolled the stone away had come too. And they went to the chief priest to tell them what had happened, that he had risen from the dead. The irony, they believed. And instead of spreading the word, they began to cover up. Still Sunday. Somewhere along the way, Peter leaves the other 10 disciples and Jesus appears to him. We don't know anything about what was said, but my imagination can fill in the blanks with a lot of possibilities of what that conversation was. Then Jesus appears to two other of his followers on the road to Emmaus. I'm going to spend a whole message on that next time. But in summary, let me just say this. They're down. They're depressed. And he approaches them. They don't recognize him. They tell their sad tale of love and loss and how Jesus must not have been the Messiah like they had thought. This goes on for quite some time until the evening when Jesus, the stranger, gave thanks for the food, and while he was praying, their eyes were opened and they realized it was him all along, and they bowed down to worship him, but he was gone. He had vanished. So those two disciples go and find the other disciples except for Thomas, and they tell them the news. But again, upon hearing it for the third time, again, they don't believe. If John believed when he looked into the tomb, he's not speaking up now. It's still Sunday. Now it's Sunday evening. Suddenly, Jesus appears out of nowhere. They think it's a spirit. But he calms their fears. He shows them the nail prints. And he eats a piece of fish with them. They're speechless with joy. Things are coming together for them. Jesus begins to open the eyes of their understanding. In their excitement, these 10 disciples, remember Judas is gone and Thomas was not there. These 10 disciples seek out Thomas, who was missing that first Sunday evening. Don't miss church. You never know what's going to happen if you're not there. He didn't believe. He promised he wouldn't believe unless he saw proof. Unless he stuck his fingers into the nail prints in Jesus' hands, unless he thrust his hand into Jesus' side, he would not believe. The next Sunday, Jesus appeared again with all 11 disciples present. He offered the proof to Thomas. He said, "Thomas, you believe because you see. But blessed are they who have not seen and still believe." These words could be the motto for that first week of time after the empty tomb. What does it take for you to believe? What will God have to do? When will you finally break down and start trusting God for everything? Whether you can see the way or not. What will it take for you to believe? We have 30,000 promises. 30,000 promises in the pages of Scripture. And while they are not all to us, they are all for us. And we can draw an application from them. 30,000 of them. How many do you believe? All 30,000, Pastor. I believe every promise in the book. Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. I believe them all. From cover to cover. And I believe the cover too. It says Holy Bible. I believe them all. Then why do you doubt? Why do you worry? Why do we question why something happens? Why do we fear? Why do we complain? Why do we wonder? Oh, listen, church. The devil is hard at work. He's hard at work trying to get us to doubt. He's hard at work trying to cause us to have our faith wane and be shaky. Trust and believe. That night, 7 of the disciples went fishing with no luck. They don't recognize him from a distance, but on the shore, after several hours, Jesus appears again and asks them how it's going. He instructs them to fish on the other side of the boat. What do they say? Sir, we are fishermen. We know what we're doing. Nevertheless, because you told us to, we'll do what you say, just to appease you, just to humor you. And they hit the jackpot. Then they realize it's Jesus. And they head for the shore. Peter jumps out of the boat, leading the way. And by the time they get their catch to shore, the sun is starting to come up. And they have breakfast on the beach with the Lord. Jesus takes an opportunity to talk to Peter and restore him to the ministry after he had denied knowing him 3 times, 1 time with an oath, cursing as he did it. Shortly after that, Jesus gave his great commission to the disciples. Paul records as well to more than 500 people on a hillside. Believe it or not, Paul said, some of those 500, even though they saw him, even though they heard from him, some of them will not continue on. He said, some of them are still doubting. But it only takes one spark. It only takes a spark to get a fire going. And this is the main thing he's leaving them with. Be fishers of men. Share the good news of the gospel with everyone, everywhere. And so John ends his gospel saying the words recorded in our text this morning. In chapter 20, verses 30 and 31. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his Son. In chapter 21, verses 24 and 25. This is the disciple which testifieth of these things and wrote these things. And we know that his testimony is true, and there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written, every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. I believe that Jesus continued teaching them and training them, preparing them for a few more weeks. Now it's been 40 days since he rose. And he promises to leave the Holy Spirit with them and to use them to found the church. He ascends up to heaven out of their sight, and they're comforted by angels. They initiate his instructions, and in less than 3 months since his resurrection, the church is born. He will return by way of vision to appear to Stephen, several times to Paul, and finally to John to give him the final revelation. And he soon will make another return. So be looking up. The Bible records, if I can get this going here, maybe you'll have some success. Maybe not. I'm not going to spend too long on it. The Bible records 17 times that Jesus appeared after his resurrection. We've talked about several of them. To Mary Magdalene at the tomb. John chapter 20, verses 11 through 17. To the other women returning to the tomb, Matthew 28, verses 9 and 10. To Peter, Luke chapter 24, verse 34. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 5. Number 4, to the disciples on the road to Emmaus, Luke 24, 13 through 31. Number 5, to the 10 disciples in Mark 16, verse 14. Number 6, to the 11 disciples a week after the resurrection, John 20, verses 26 through 29. To 7 disciples by Galilee in John 21, verses 1 through 23. To 5,000 in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 6. To James, the Lord's brother, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 7. To the 11 disciples on the mountain in Galilee, Matthew 28, verses 16 through 20. At his ascension, Acts chapter 1, verses 3 through 9. then to Stephen at his stoning, Acts 7, 55 and 56, to Paul on the Damascus Road, Acts 9, 3 through 6, to Paul in Arabia, Galatians 1, 12 through 17, to Paul in the temple, Acts 9, 26 and 27, to Paul in prison, Caesarea, Acts 23, verse 11, then to the Apostle John, Revelation chapter 1, verses 12 through 20. When Jesus rose, victorious over sin and death and hell and the grave, it was not the end. He still has much to do. He still has much to say. We still have 3 or 4 messages to talk about the things that he said and did in those last 40 days before he ascended back to heaven. May God guide our hearts. May he guide our thoughts. May he encourage us. May he challenge us from these last words of Jesus to continue on for his honor and for his glory. Let's bow for prayer. Would you pray with me? Holy Spirit of God, thank you for what you've done. Thank you for what you're going to do. And thank you for what you want to do. Lord, please help us as we consider these things, as we consider these last words, these last interactions that you have. Oh, so important words, so important thoughts. Help us, God, to take them in. Help us, God, to read them and to study them with a heart that is willing to apply them. Lord, I pray that if there be anyone under the sound of my voice, or anyone that we know and have contact with who knows you not as Savior, that you would help us to use this time until your soon return, after which it'll be too late, to share with them the love of Jesus. The end is only the beginning. Now, with heads bowed and eyes closed for just a moment, I wonder if there'd be one here this morning that say, Pastor, I've never put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. I go to church, I put money in the offering plate, I'm a good person, try to take care of my family, try to take care of my friends, all of those things. But I don't know Jesus. Maybe you're in the house, maybe you're listening today online. You'd say, Pastor, I don't know Jesus as my Savior. If you're here and you're like that, would you just slip up your hand? Let me pray for you. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. No one's looking around. Just slip the hand up, put it right back down. If I don't see your hand, God sees your heart. Pastor, I don't know Jesus as my Savior. Would you pray for me? God bless you. Thank you so much. My friend, I don't know what your need is today, but God does. and God can meet it. He can take care of it. Just a moment, we're going to have a song of invitation. When we do, if God has spoken to your heart, I want you to slip out from where you are and do business with Him. Whatever your need is, whatever it is, God can meet it. Maybe you raised your hand a moment ago, or maybe you didn't, but you should have, and said, "Pastor, I'm not saved." I invite you to come with somebody, take a Bible, just a minute of your time, and show you how you can have that assurance. Whatever it is. If you're watching or listening today online, you need prayer. You need to know Christ as your Savior. You need prayer. Would you reach out to me from this page from which you're listening? Let us know how we can be a help to you. And may God bless you is our prayer.